Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
Ooh, how sexy.
It is I, Kevin David Thomas, and your other fellow co-host,
I don't have
Robert W. Schneider.
No, I just want to be
known. I thought you were going to...
I want to give up. I want to be like Prince.
We're film... just Rob.
No, just a symbol. But I don't know what that symbol should be. What should that symbol be for me? Listeners, when you think of me, what symbol?
you're opening up a can of worms there.
You know what it is? It's that symbol of when they tell you there's like a wet floor and someone's like slipping on the wet floor. Do you know what I mean? Like the little shadow that's like suspended in space. That's going to be my symbol from now on, I think. So I'm very excited about that.
Well, it is yesterday was probably the hottest day of October, and today it is full on fall weather, and I could not be happier about it. It's slightly overcast with a chance of drizzle, but I love this. This is my favorite time of year between summer and fall, but it's autumn. I call it.
Are you one of those?
But it's.
I was going to say, are you one of those pumpkin fetishists that are like, it's autumn, so everything is pumpkin? Yeah.
Well, a little bit. I mean, the decorations are already out in the apartment. They, you know, as some listeners may remember from previous years, my wife Sutton loves horror films for the month of October. But you can't watch any earlier than October 1st. It's called sobriety September, where you wait, and then on October 1st is the day that you're allowed to finally watch your horror films. So the first one we watched was the movie Us, and then last night was Pet Cemetery. So it's
the new one or the old one?
It's the new one.
How is it?
It's good. I'm not a full disclosure. I hate horror films, so I'm just along for the ride and for support. But I sort of half watch them and half do a crossword puzzle or read a musical theater book.
So sobriety September must be a big deal for you. You must enjoy that more than
exactly.
Exactly. October. Outrageous October. I don't know. Or October. I was trying to think of like a word to put before October.
I think a great way to celebrate this season is to get on the old YouTube and type in the words Tim Curry, The Worst Witch, and listen to Anything Can Happen on Halloween. Your dog could turn into a cat. Just to like throw that Charles Strauss, Don Black song back out you.
And what a great rhyme. What a great rhyme.
It is. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go back and listen to the favorite thing from years ago, or just watch it.
Just watch it. What's it called? The Worst Witch, right?
Worst Witch, and it's Anything Can Happen on Halloween. It's Tim Curry in a wizard outfit. It's like a vampire, and he's in front of a really horrible blue screen from the 1980s. Arguably the worst / best songs ever made is then sung by him with some of the best / worst lyrics ever written. And I just want you to go and listen to it again. And I will tell you that every week this month.
Anything can happen on Halloween. That's my new audition song.
Oh, it's great. Charlotte Ray's in the movie.
Oh.
We're gonna do that. I knew you. Hey, you've been seeing a lot of shows lately, Rob.
I have. So because of my rehearsal schedule, which we rehearse at nights, I can't see a lot of shows. So I'm trying to do catch up right now. So yeah, I like binged. So we talked about Slave Play, which I saw a couple of weeks ago. If you want, you can listen to last week's episode, hear my thoughts on that. Then a couple of nights ago, I saw The Height of the Storm with Jonathan Pryce and Eileen Atkins, which is a very sad play about dementia.
Great.
And him.
So it's like typical MTC, then. It's just.
Once again.
I feel like they're always downers.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like when the last time. No, they've done some comedies. No, well, I'm trying to think of when the last time they did like a comedy was. That's actually a really, really good point, Manhattan Theater Club. Prince of Broadway had some funny elements in it. I don't know. Does that count?
Did it?
There were some funny things in Prince of Broadway. I don't know if they were intentionally meant to be funny, but they were funny. So Height of the Storm, Jonathan Pryce, Eileen Atkins. It's a really interesting play about, like I said, not only him suffering with dementia, but how his family reacts to it, especially his wife, who's played brilliantly by Eileen Atkins. And I'm so happy that the two of them are on stage together because they give a masterclass in subtlety, which is something that I think is so hard for younger actors to struggle with, which is the idea of being subtle yet still having an energy large enough to hit the back of the house of a theater.
I was going to ask where you were seated for this performance, and were you,
I was in the orchestra, but I was very far back in the orchestra. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage, if you're a younger actor and you want to see how this is done, I would go and take a look at The Height of the Storm just so you can get a sense of how you can, you know, manipulate your energy to be large enough and to be effective while at the same time still remaining truthful to what's going on. Yeah, very, very interesting thing. And once again, yes, it is Manhattan Theater Club, so bring tissues. And bring hard candies to unwrap at the most quiet moments of the show, because that seems to be a tradition at the Manhattan Theater Club.
It is. It's
yeah. True. And I always love seeing Jonathan Pryce on stage.
I saw him in My Fair Lady like 2 decades ago in London at the Royal National, and he's just an incredible actor on stage. He's been doing it for decades, and he's a real – I think he's a real – I've always been a fan of his. I mean, going back to the Miss Saigon days. I know. We're not allowed to. But
well, he can't play the role anymore.
No. And you can still play that cast recording and enjoy him.
Yes. 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 Yes, indeed we can, because, oh, God bless. But not anymore, which is fine. Different times. And the person I went with was like, isn't this the guy from Miss Saigon? I'm like, let's forgive him and let's just enjoy the show.
Yes. I'm seeing Inheritance on Monday. I'm excited about that, part one.
That's great. I'm seeing it Saturday night.
So we can talk about that next week. And we're seeing Scotland next Wednesday. So I'm excited about that.
Yes, we are. Scotland, PA, a musical version of the Scottish play. What else is – I saw The Rose Tattoo.
Yes, that's a play you know very well.
Yeah, The Rose Tattoo. It's Marissa Tomei, who God, do I love her. Done at Roundabout.
Right.
Different than Manhattan Theater Club.
Much different kind of theater.
But still, just as much as unwrapping of hard candies. And what did she say? I had a commentary audience right behind me throughout the entire performance of The Rose Tattoo.
Oh no, it was a matinee.
Oh yeah. I went on a Sunday matinee just because I hate myself.
Oh, Rob.
And the woman next to me was a sweetheart. She and I had a really lovely conversation. But the women behind us literally were eating throughout the whole show. And every time, like Marissa Tomei came out, that's a very pretty dress. Full voice, just so Marissa could hear how nice she looked.
That's great.
At one point, there's something happening in the play. And she was like, this makes no sense. And then nobody reacted, so she was louder. She goes, this makes no sense.
Just say it again.
I was like, well, let me get a Ouija board, and we'll get Tennessee Williams. And you can tell him, and he can correct everything for this play that's like 100 years old. So thank you for letting us know, madam.
Thanks, Eloise. Thank you.
But Trip Coleman directed it. It's a very interesting production of The Rose Tattoo. I had seen it in London at the National a few years ago. Right. Zoe Wanamaker, who I just love as an actress. I like anytime she's in anything, I just sort of have to like fan myself because I get too excited. That's how much I love Zoe Wanamaker. And she was breathtaking and brilliant. This production's made a lot of cuts. If you're a Williams purist, you're probably not going to recognize this production, and I don't think that's a bad thing at all. It has a lightness to it that I've not seen in other productions of it, and it's actually one of my favorite Williams plays. I think we had talked about this a few weeks ago. I'm not a huge Tennessee Williams fan, but this one I seem to enjoy more than the others. So if somebody said to me, I'm going to take you to see Streetcar Named Desire or Rose Tattoo, I'm like, sign me up for Rose Tattoo. I was upset because at first I thought it was about Hervé Villechaize, and it wasn't.
The Rose Tattoo. It's so bad.
You know oh, Serafina's man. Husband was cheating on her. She was not cheating on me. So he comes out. He's got a little rose. He's waving the rose.
In his mouth, yeah.
And the whole thing, they blame her for being like, you know, a bad wife, and that's why the husband cheated. That's where Hervé would go, the blame, the blame. Thank you.
You thought about this.
No, actually... I didn't. No, it just dawned on me that the rose tattoo could be the rose tattoo. Or it's also tattoo in gypsy.
Well done. Good
Thank
job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep. I thought you did it for me, mama. I thought you did it for me. Because you like turning a no-talent ox into a star.
He could be a newsboy.
Newsboy? He's Mama Rose.
All that I need is 88 cents, Papa.
And Pop will be played by Ricardo Montalban.
Oh, naturally.
Who are you going to say? You were going to say somebody else.
Nope.
Okay.
I had a dream, a fantasy.
I just like the blame. And then I saw The Great Society.
Oh, jeez.
Which is
what a week.
Yeah, the follow up to All the Way, the LBJ play. Go ahead.
Do you have to? I'm such a person who likes to see things in order. You know, like I have to, you know, watch movie one before I can watch movie three. Do you have to have seen All the Way, you know, first before you really can get anything out of The Great Society? Or can I go see Great Society having not seen the first play in the series?
You can see Great Society without having seen All the Way. I would encourage you, though, if you did not live in that era, you probably want to do just a little bit of research. Because there's a lot of events and names being thrown out, and there's not really an explanation on who those people are, so it's sort of assumed that you know what's happening. My preference is All the Way was a superior play, if you had to compare the two. This one, All the Way, what it did brilliantly was covered LBJ's re-election. This has to cover his entire first complete term in office. So it's a lot of information. Really great performances. I wonder why Bryan Cranston didn't come back to, you know, do his role again. This time it's the brilliant actor Brian Cox from Succession. So I'm a little curious. And there's also some, like, one of our former podcasts, Mark Kudish, is in it. Mark is in it. He plays the mayor of Chicago. It's a lot of musical theater people. Yep. It's Mark. Bryce Pinkham was in it as Robert Kennedy. David Garrison came on as Richard Nixon. The play could benefit from some cutting and some pruning. But I understood the playwright did not want to do any pruning or cutting, as I understand. And so, you know, I'm a political junkie, so I was engrossed every single second of it. Some people next to me did not come back after intermission. Their loss is what I say. Their loss is what I say. But no, you do not need to see All the Way, but I would encourage you just to do a little Wikipedia search just to get a sense of who everybody was and what was going on.
Okay.
And I love Lincoln Center. Where else can you see a play that has like 30 people – and the ensemble, you know what I mean? Just like, it's a huge experience. It's an absolutely huge experience.
And playing multiple roles, right? I mean, like, it's many, 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 many different characters going in and out of the plot. Yeah.
Well, like David Garrison plays like Richard Nixon and George Wallace and this and that. Yeah. So and they come up with a conceit where everyone pretty much stays on stage the entire time. So they all sit in pews when they're not performing. And sometimes they just get up from their pew. And they just tap dance. They do some push-ups.
Get ready.
Mark Kudish sings a couple of songs from 9 to 5. I don't know if...
Gotta bada. Yeah.
They do warm-ups. I always love that. I always love when you come into a show and they're doing warm-ups on stage beforehand just to let you know they're actors. That's one of my favorites. Just a little, you know.
Just in case you forgot.
Hey, we're putting on a show for you where they come out and they like greet each other while the audience is still coming in.
I have to get my vessel prepared.
What is a vessel?
It's my body. My body is a vessel for the character.
I'm eating a meatball here. I'm doing a swig of Jack Daniels. We're on stage. And
I'm going to cough a couple times, and now I'm going.
Oh, my God. And the audience is like, I can cough, too. Listen. Have people in the theater gotten ruder as time has gone on or no?
I don't know. I have a feeling it was always like this. I mean, imagine, you know, five, six decades ago, you would smoke in the theater. You would literally just light up a cigarette and they'd have ashtrays in the back of the chairs, right? So, like, I imagine it's always been sort of kind of messy, but
are you telling me we can't do that anymore?
No, Rob.
I need to write a letter of apology to Lincoln Center, if you'll forgive
me. Fumar.
No, I can't do it in Spanish. No fumar.
No fumar.
No fugamos. We do not smoke.
That's good.
I can conjugate.
Do you also have a favorite thing for this week?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Yeah, if you want. If you really want that, sure.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
If you want. No, of course I do. Of course I do. This is why we're here. We're not here to riff. We're here to, like, share our favorite things. So mine is actually, this is so interesting. I think this is interesting. This is a documentary that I think was not expecting to be overshadowed by an event. And was overshadowed by the event in some way, but it doesn't mean that this documentary is still not fantastic. We were very lucky because this year we've had two things celebrate a golden age musical theater icon, and that is the great icon known as Gwen Verdon, who was the amazing triple threat of the golden age of the American musical theater. We had two things. One, we had an FX program called Fosse Verdon, where Michelle Williams just won the Emmy Award for playing Gwen Verdon. And Fosse Verdon sort of has the thesis that Bob Fosse really couldn't do anything without Gwen Verdon in the room or behind the scenes helping him either get through a project or create a project. The Fosse Verdon program is really fascinating just because Michelle Williams' performance is so strong, and it presents, I think, a more controversial view of, like, what was actually getting accomplished in their relationship. At the same time, however, a documentary has come out, and the documentary is called Merely Marvelous, The Dancing Genius of Gwen Verdon, and that's my favorite thing for this week. Have you seen it yet?
I've not watched it. I believe it's on, what, Amazon,
Yes, it's available. Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime, folks. Once again, it's called Merely Marvelous, The Dancing Genius of Gwen Verdon. And I think had this come out maybe, before Fosse Verdon, there would probably be a lot more celebration of this documentary being put together. But I think, unfortunately, that event has overshadowed this.
Do you really think so? I mean, because I don't want to argue with you, but it seems to me that Fosse Verdon would make their names more prevalent to people that may not even be fans of Fosse Verdon. And then subsequently, you would think, then they'd say, oh, I want to see the real Gwen Verdon. I don't know. I mean, it just seems like, because one is actual footage. The other is a dramatization based on the book, of course, the Fosse, biography. But I'm surprised that you think that, because
my feeling is, and I could be totally wrong, which is, If I've just seen something about a historical figure, what is this documentary going to show me that I just didn't learn?
Because you see the real person, you actually get to see real unicorn in action.
I agree with you 110%, and that's, to me, that's like the big thing of why you should watch this documentary. If you watched Fosse Verdon, you're pretty much seeing what that movie covered. But what you're not seeing is exactly what you're saying, which is you're not seeing actually Gwen Verdon dance. You're seeing Michelle Williams in a dance double dance, and whoever that dance double was brilliant, and so was Michelle Williams. But you're not seeing Gwen Verdon in action. And that's something that this documentary has. It also gives you a more intimate look at how she behaved behind the scenes with people who actually worked with her, and not in a dramatic context. So you get to meet her son, who, if you remember, she had people raised in California while she was out working in New York. You meet her daughter, Nicole Fosse. The movie alone is worth it for the last 10 minutes, and I'm not going to tell you what the last 10 minutes include, but it's her and her nephew. And it's very – It's very beautiful. And you also have interviews with like John Kander and Chita Rivera. And of course, two of our favorites that have been in our podcast, Harvey Evans. And of course, Leroy Reams.
Leroy Reams, always showing up.
With his little bow tie, looking fabulous.
Always.
Yeah, so it's on Amazon Prime. It's gotten very strong reviews, but that's my fear. My fear is that some people will say, listen, I just watched Fosse Verdon. Some people didn't like Fosse Verdon, so they're like, why do I need to watch another movie about Gwen Verdon? I just saw one about Gwen Verdon. I would encourage you to do so because it presents, I think, a more honest view of what was going on, and it also shows you her in action, and you get to watch how beautiful she was as a dancer. Plus, there's some really good footage from things I don't think people have seen before. There's some really good footage that was shot like on Home Movies from Chicago, some behind-the-scenes stuff from Sweet Charity. It's a good thing that I think we should all be investing in. And thank God that these guys put it together. This is Ken Bloom, you know, fantastic Ken Bloom, great author, Dennis Phil, and a guy named Chris Johnson. So the three of them have worked very, very hard on making sure that there was enough money and interest in this documentary. It's now available on Amazon Prime, and I think you should be watching it. And you should watch it either – if you haven't – you can watch it at any time. You don't even have to watch Fosse Verdon if you don't want to. Just watch Merely Marvelous, The Dancing Genius of Gwen Verdon.
Brilliant. Great. I'm so glad you brought that up. I've been meaning to see it, so I'm going to put it to the top of my list.
Amazon Prime, baby. It's the best thing
ever. Love that. I agree. So my favorite thing this week is a cast recording. I feel like because we do this podcast, Rob, we're pretty up to date with – you know, shows that are coming to Broadway, shows that are coming to off-Broadway, play, especially musicals. I mean, that because we both love them so much, in addition to plays. This was a musical that was running off-Broadway this past year. You could even say technically it was this season because it was in May and June. I had absolutely no idea that this show was running. It was at one of my favorite theaters. In fact, some of my favorite musicals ever started at Playwrights Horizons. Now, my excuse is I had a baby in June and my wife was pregnant in the month of May, so I really was sort of out of the loop a little bit. But this was not on my radar at all. And the cast recording, and I wish I'd seen this show because my friends that saw it said it was just very intense and really special and a fantastic piece of theater. It's called A Strange Loop.
Ah, yes.
Did you see it?
No, I heard it was fantastic.
Right. So this is this musical, book, music, and lyrics by a man named Michael R. Jackson, who won the 2017 Jonathan Larson Award, and also he was 2017 Lincoln Center's Emerging Artist. He went to NYU, the Graduate Musical Theater Writing Program. This is a musical that was done at Playwrights Horizons. It was developed by the Musical Theater Factory, which is a relatively new developmental space that helps out non-white LGBTQ, just giving a voice to writers that might not have a chance at other venues. And so they do really, really great work at the Musical Theater Factory, and then they helped cultivate and develop this piece by Michael R. Jackson, and then playwrights subsequently produced it, directed by Stephen Brackett, who of course did Be More Chill. This cast recording, though, because I can't talk about the production because I didn't see it, but this recording, as soon as I saw someone on Twitter talk about it, and I thought, all right, what are the kids listening to? It's really what I was thinking. And so I thought, all right, I want to check out this piece. The minute I pressed play, I knew I was listening to a fantastic new writer of art, of this musical theater art form. The music is – well, the lyrics are just so smartly written. They're very millennial. They're very today. But they're still firmly theater lyrics that are smartly written. They're unpredictable. You never know where they're going to go. And they're very funny and they're very smart. They're very sad in many moments. This is a journey of this. It's autobiography. It's kind of a meta musical. The journey of a queer black man who is setting out to write a musical theater piece. He's a usher for a Disney show. And it's about his journey of self-discovery and breaking, you know, trying to break through and all the struggles that come with his family, his friends, choices and that he makes in his own life. And while this is about a very specific person that I am not and can't relate to, but because that they wrote this piece so specific, it's that beautiful thing in theater where the specificity of somebody else's experience can speak to my own experience. And so even though some of the things he's singing about, I don't do, but I can still relate to the themes of it all. And now it helps that the piece is so well written. It's definitely in a pop, gospel, R&B kind of world, but definitely rooted firmly in the musical theater art form. You know, there's the opening, there's the I Want song, but it's all very smartly written. Basically, it's the lead character who is played by a man named Larry Owens, who is just absolutely fantastic singer actor, and there's six other parts that are sort of the voices in his head, the insecurities, all of that, and then they also play the other lead parts, like his mom, his dad, all of that, and it's his journey of being this usher and trying to work on his show, but dealing with the demons in his head, and also his parents and his mom and dad want him to write like Tyler Perry, and he's like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be a cello like that, I'm going to write my own voice, and it's this journey of him fighting, and he calls it his inner white girl, and how that's he identifies with that, but he also wants to have his own identity, and one of the lyrics says white girls can do anything, can't they? Black boys must always obey their mothers, and it has a lot of the struggles that that he's going through, and it's just very well written, and the tunes are fun and sad and intense in many ways, but I'm a huge fan of it. I've listened to it 3 times now, and I'm really happy, and I'm really excited to see what this writer will write next, and I'm really bummed that I didn't go to Playwrights Horizons and see it. And I'm going to really make sure I don't let other shows that I know I will enjoy pass by the radar again, because it happens too easily. And I'd rather see something really, really amazing than maybe see something that I know is not going to be as much. So I'm bummed I missed it, but I'm thankful for this cast recording and that I can listen to A Strange Loop, which I recommend to everybody checking out. Now it's definitely those listeners who prefer maybe a more golden age type musical, this might be a little outside of that box, but I think you'll still recognize all of the fantastic elements we appreciate in great theater writing in this piece. So check it out.
Very cool. I was out of town when this was playing. And the cast recording, like you said, has just come out. So it's sitting on my iTunes, but here's my problem. I like to go see shows not knowing anything about the show going into it. And yeah. I have a feeling this show's going to come back. So it's killing me, because I'm just like, I want it to come back so I can see it. But I'm also like, I also want to listen. I'm very torn. I'm just very torn.
So you don't listen to things before you see them, because no. I'm the opposite. I like my ear to be hear the music and kind of be in that world so I can really invest that much more. But I'm also weird like that.
Nope. Yeah. I don't want to know anything.
A fresh experience.
I want a fresh experience. I want to go in. I want to sit down. I open up the playbill just to see if there's an intermission. I don't do anything else. I put the playbill under my seat and I just wait and I wait and I wait. I don't want to know anything.
Hmm.
No, I was going to say, but this is killing me, because I'm like, I hear it's absolutely brilliant, but I heard a rumor it's coming back. And so I'm like, what do I do? Okay. I'm gonna give it one more month. And if they haven't made an announcement in a month, I will listen and then watch. As soon as I'm done listening, they'll be like,
they'll make the announcement.
coming back to New York. So
I hope it does. I hope it does. I think more audiences need to see this piece of theater.
Well, Michael's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant person, Yes. And I've worked with Larry on a show at 54 Below, and he was awesome on stage.
Talented. Boy.
Yeah, he's a talented individual.
And in this piece, he was literally on stage the entire show. What a marathon. So check it out, listeners.
Cool. So then you can take a listen to A Strange Loop, and you can watch Merely Marvelous, The Life of Gwen Verdon, on Amazon Prime. This is very exciting. You don't even have to leave your house this weekend for your favorite things.
Exactly. Put the fire on. Get the leaves out. Get the decorations going. Watch a little Anything Can Happen on Halloween. That's it. I don't want to share any other lyrics, because I need you guys to listen to it again just to savor them.
Yeah. I like that. I like that word, savor. Say it again.
So you guys can savor them.
That's it. Thank you. That's all I needed to hear.
You're welcome. Okay.
Awesome. And then make sure you take a listen to our interview with Maury Yeston that we did.
Oh, what a good chat. He's great.
Isn't he fabulous? And for time, we had to cut out some amazing stories, but oh my God, he's like the best storyteller and knows everything about music. It's ridiculous.
Smart man. Very smart.
Maybe one day we'll do is we'll release the unedited episode as like a bonus episode because his stories were like epically, amazingly good.
Yeah.
It was hard to pick. Hard to pick what was going to stay in. Okay, my friends, until next week. Goodbye.
We'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.